Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello.
What's up, man? What's going on, buddy boy?
Getting ready for the end of the year. As we're recording this, the industry is heading out to PRI. I've gone a couple times now. I didn't get a chance, obviously, to go this year. Should be a good show. I do like PRI. Like, PRI is the performance racing industry. It's sort of the more racing focused version of the SEMA show. It's an indie. It's a little bit smaller than SEMA, quite a bit smaller than SEMA, but the exhibitors there and the parts and stuff that you see definitely lean toward more the racing side of things. So if you're really looking for internal engine components and pistons and drivetrains and valve trains, that's the place to be. And the companies that we see at SEMA, like your supercharger companies, like a Procharger or a Vortec, when they're at PRI, you see more of their racing oriented stuff, giant superchargers, giant turbo, kits.
Sounds like it sucks.
It's actually, it's an interesting show. It's a fun show. And if you get little less into the bolt-on performance and a little bit more of the assembly mechanic performance side of things, it's cool. And it's full of dirt racers, drag racers, road racers. Like, just the audience is a little bit different, so it's a cool event. It's a fun event, but it's far and it's cold.
To me it sounds like heaven. I've obviously been to SEMA for the last 30 years and I've heard nothing but wonderful things about PRI. And I've continued to say that, yeah, next year I'll be there. But it's a time constraint thing because today is the first day of Hanukkah. You do know that.
Yes, I do. And we'll have to figure it out at some point. We're gonna have to we'll find a way to do something out there. I think if we go, we do something, podcast, something live show, something like that to make it kind of fun. And I had the opportunity to do that a couple of times, go out there and do live shows and speak with Antron Brown and a couple of the other racers and stuff that show up. So it's cool. It's a good event. It's definitely worth checking out. And it's sort of, the Midwest version of the SEMA show. If you want to go to
Indy. That sounds, the more you say about it, the more fantastic it sounds.
And it's in a convention center. And then, like, separately, there's like a stadium, and that's sort of the second part of it, kind of like where SEMA has the multiple buildings. But in that, they roll in all of the big, like, car haulers, motorhomes, and things that you would take on the road to go racing to a track. So there's a whole different, like infield of a stadium where you can just check out the various car haulers and stuff and how they're building it out. That's kind of a cool piece as well. Chris Loxamana, he and I went a couple of years ago, and we just sort of wandered off to that stadium. We're like, what's going on in here? We walk up and we're up high, like in the grandstands, and we're like, we got to get down in the middle. Like, I didn't even know this was here. And somebody just sort of pointed us in the direction. And although it was cold out, the weather was nice enough to be able to just walk around and go. And we were like, let's go get a steak, but let's swing by this stadium to figure out, like, what's going on in there. We popped in. I was like, oh, there's some cool shit down there too. And then on the display, they had like John Force's funny car in the hallway or whatever. And it was just, it was a cool display. So, speaking of the performance parts, I wanted to just quickly touch on sort of the evolution of the twin turbo kit on the Mach 1. Cause, when we did the Mach 1 and debuted it at SEMA last year, we technically had to call it emissions tested, which meant the guys at Hellion Turbo went through the whole process at SEMA Garage to get it emissions tested and submit it to CARB and all 50 state legality. It was all tested. All the numbers came back good. And we didn't want to say emissions legal because it wasn't fully approved. And then all the numbers came back. It passed with flying colors. It blew clean. And in some cases, because of the tune, it was cleaner at certain areas of the RPM range. It was cleaner than the factory Ford stock tune. Damn. And it was clean and basically approved up to like 12 pounds of boost. Like a stock kit's like 7 pounds, and it was still clean up to 12 pounds. And then CARB came back and said, everything you're doing is fine. The turbos, the location, putting them on like the catalytic converters and not changing the cats and the locations and just putting like in between the cats and the header, all of it's fine. They said, but the factory airbox has that carbon filter. It sucks in air, hits the air filter, hits that carbon filter, and right before it goes into the engine, to the throttle body. And it said, you need to keep that, right? It had nothing to do with how clean it was. It was just a rule. You have to have the carbon filter. So this past SEMA, they showed another version, another one of the cars up on jack stands. And what they were able to do was, if you can kind of picture this, they made a big air box, almost like a tray that sits underneath the engine, almost like a where the factory plastic shield is that goes from like the front bumper to the bell housing. There's a tray, there's a shield, or you know, whatever you want to call it, that's down there. And it's plastic, and you remove it. So that's removed. The turbos are right at in between the header and the catalytic converter. So it's right at the firewall near the bell housing. They make a new shorty header that attaches to the turbo, attaches to the cats. The cats, you can't change the cats. You can't rotate the cats. You can't change the location. So it had to be stock. So now two issues that came up is one, where, how do you add the carbon filter? And two, a lot of comments on my posts were, good luck driving the car through weather because the turbos mounting low like that are also where the air filters are. So they killed two birds with one stone. So what they did was there's this, it looks like a black powder coated tray, and it's basically an air box. It's probably the width of the engine compartment. So maybe it's, I don't know, three feet wide, and it goes from the bell housing area almost up to the front, behind the front rear bumper. Like that's the length of it. It's like that plastic tray that was on the car stock is removed, and this aluminum tray is in there. But the aluminum tray is actually an air box. Like I said, it's about 3 feet wide, maybe 3 feet long, but it's got about an inch of height, and it's a box, and it attaches to where the air filters would go on the turbos. So it has two round pieces, attaches to the turbos, goes to this huge air box, and then there's a pipe that goes up to the factory air box, air filter box, you know what I'm talking about, on the car, and it sucks in air from there. And then the tube, from the turbos, there's two tubes from the turbos that blow into the engine. So when you open the hood of your car, the factory air box, that air filter assembly looks all stock, and then it has a pipe that 90 degrees down behind the radiator, between the radiator and the engine, goes to that air box. It sucks in air from there, goes to the air box that they made, goes to the turbos. The turbos blow to an intercooler, the intercooler blows to the engine. Adding that system, one, underneath the hood, it almost looks factory stock. Mm-hmm. Two, it eliminates the issue of sucking in water at the turbos. And which three, it satisfied CARB and gave them 50 state emissions legality. And they're just waiting on, it's approved. They're waiting on paperwork. There's just, you know, some shuffling. You got to wait a little bit, but it's a pretty interesting system. Now for the Mustang Mach 1, I had the factory air box, but on the Mach 1, it has the open element filter with the gasket around the top that seals on the hood, and it's got that big conical filter in there. And then with Anderson Composites, when we did the carbon fiber hood with the hood scoop, it was made for a stock Mach 1. And that scoop actually was functional, and it has like a little tunnel on the hood and goes to the top of that conical air filter. So what I talked to John Urist about was, hey, if you're putting the factory intake system, basically airbox system, in the car, wouldn't it work with my open element filter instead of the Mustang GT's box filter? And he's like, there's no reason why it shouldn't. So now we'll test fit it and get it to work. But now if that works, the Anderson Composites hood scoop will be functional, and it'll have a little bit of a ram air function. So it'll bring cold air in, not just an intake, but a cold air intake, because it has that air coming from the outside to that air filter, to the turbos, and then into the engine. So it's a pretty smart kit that they put together and got it emissions legal. It's going to be
sure.
Cool.
It didn't happen overnight.
It didn't. No, it was over the past year. And you know what a lot of it was those guys keep going back to SEMA Garage and getting it tested and submitting it to CARB, and CARB coming back. And he actually said the process was not that complicated, and everybody was like pretty nice in the process. The relationship that SEMA Garage has with CARB is a good relationship. Now, we constantly hear about how CARB is going after companies and they're busting everyone. There's fines for the shops that have done tuning and all this stuff. And it really makes them seem like the bad guy. And in some cases, many cases, they kind of are playing the bad guy, but that's not how it went down with Hellion Turbo and SEMA Garage and CARB. They followed the rules and they passed, and they're going to have an emissions legal twin turbo kit, which I have. So I'm going to retrofit that air box on there. And once they make me one, I think they made one for SEMA, and we got a new tune for it. We're working on the tune. We think we have it done, but we're just checking it. And then we'll bring it back to the dyno, and then we'll bring it to the Edmonds test track and see what it does. But yeah, I'm excited. But it's an incredibly huge accomplishment getting a V8 powered car with an emissions legal twin turbo kit from the aftermarket, especially these days. Like, that's an incredible feat. So anyway, I just wanted to update on that. So we're getting a little bit closer to getting it all done. It's a cool system, and it's going to be a cool piece. So anyway, that's that.
Get it out on the road and drive it.
Yeah. I just patched the tire. I had a freaking nail in the tire. I had to take that off, patch the tire.
Sounds like you're driving around here. Christ.
Yeah.
Freaking nail in the tire.
All right. So do you want to talk a little bit about the Demons and Barrett Jackson, the official announcement? I think we sort of hinted to it over the last couple of weeks, but
yeah, I've tried to keep it under wraps, right? I mean, the reality is you can't sell a vehicle if you don't have possession of the vehicle first.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to make it be known that I was eyeing Friday night, the 26th of January, for Barrett Jackson until I got confirmation that my car was on the trailer on the way to my dealer, which I got this morning, as everyone on social media saw.
And this is the Demon 170.
The first Demon 170. Yeah, number 1038. It's the big brother to 1038 2018 Demon that I purchased in 2018, my black one. And I am going to take them to Barrett Jackson for Friday night lights, basically, and sell them as a pair, one lot, to one very lucky new owner, because I've done all the legwork. I I kept a 2008, a vehicle that I purchased in 2018, which popped a wheelie under 10 miles. So it has not clicked 11 on the odometer. And that feat alone is admirable and needs to be compensated. But, there's a million reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. I think first and foremost, the underlying reason is I've been very fortunate to be a spokesperson for Dodge over the last number of years. And I've been extremely lucky to fulfill a childhood dream, which is, you know, driving these badass cars and being and looking from the inside out. So what that's done is it's given me the opportunity when these special cars go up for sale to build, I've been on the list, which is, I'm very thankful for. So obviously what I did was I got two pairs. I got one for myself, number 37, which is F8 green on the 2018. And then I got the one off green machine color for 2023 on the 170. That car is at Penske right now. But then I got the other package because I had the ability to do it. And passing up that opportunity, I would have been moronic. And so kind of what I've been a curator of that car, you know, for 5 years, and it's been over to freaking Saudi Arabia in that debacle of an auction.
Yeah.
You know, we had years ago. Somehow it came back with no scratches. I mean, it came back intact, unlike a lot of other vehicles. And I've still been able to keep 10 miles on it. So I think with the internal combustion engines coming to an end and, you know, what Dodge has represented throughout the years, I think that my character kind of mirrors that, you know, in the wrestling world and me as a person, as a car collector. You know, I'm a big and ostentatious, over the top, loud, freaking wild dude, right? So, I mean, I'm reminiscent of the brand, and it's going to be cool, man. I'm going to drive the 2018 on stage, and Gage is going to follow me in the 170. And, it's going to be a badass night, man. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to shake the hand of the person that gets that purchases this lot, because, you know, again, man, I mean, this internal combustion engine demise or end, as it's coming to fruition, is the end of an era, man. I mean, no doubt. Yeah. So I think these cars exemplify, you know, what they stood for and the last call as they announced it, you know, the event in Vegas with the unveiling of the 170. But it's been a cool time to be a part of a cool brand, and it's a cool opportunity for somebody. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity, and I'm not sorrowful in that I'm getting rid of them, because as I said, I have another pair.
You have another pair. Yeah.
I'm not saying that like I'm some, you know, elitist by any stretch. I'm just a collector. And I'm a guy who had a plan back in the day, and now I'm going through with that plan. And let's just be honest, I need freaking room. I got other cars that I want, and I don't want to stack them on top of these, right? And so I think it's the time to do it. The market might not say so, but, you know, hopefully with the hoopla around the event itself and, you know, what's happening Saturday night and myself and, you know, we're going to have some big wigs from Dodge, hopefully up on stage with me. And it's going to be a big production, man. So I'm looking forward to it. And the cat's out of the bag.
There you go. So we've got the Dodge Demon and the Demon 170. They're matching serial numbers.
Yes, sir.
They are both black. They're matching color. Basically, you had the Demon 170 built to match the Demon, and was offered from Dodge to get the matching serial number. So you can buy both matching cars, the Demon and the Demon 170, both black. And
the demon crate with the original demon, the 2018, it comes with that.
Yeah, you got the drag pack crate on it. These cars are still wrapped in plastic. They're wrapper cars.
And don't be surprised if I may take a couple add-ons with me to increase the anticipation of the end result, right?
There'll be some fun stuff. There'll be some fun stuff for sure. We're going to be at Barrett Jackson, and hopefully you guys can come have a drink with us, come have a bravado with us while this car is going up there and whatnot. So it'll be kind of fun.
It's quite possible that this may be in the trunk.
So Bill's showing us on video. He's showing us a custom painted helmet. Says, who's next?
Mike LaValle.
Oh, Mike LaValle. Yeah, he did it. And he was great. He did the Real Flames. If you guys don't know him, unfortunately, he passed away. He was such a nice guy. And you've seen him on old episodes of Overhaul and pretty much everything else, where he kind of created or made mainstream the idea of real flame paints, not just Zoe's did a great job. Even on you go back and you see Chip Foos, who's a great painter and an artist, obviously paint cars, and then bring in Mike and go, let's add real flames on this and see his process. And he did that.
That's a testament to how good the dude was, man.
So he's got this.
You can talk about how good a guy is at his craft, but he was a better man. I mean, he was just a wonderful guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So the helmet, the real flame painted that he did, that's a pretty cool piece, pretty special piece, which you can't get done again because unfortunately Mike is gone, right? So yeah, should be kind of it'll be exciting. We're all going to be out there. And of course, you guys should come out to Barrett Jackson. This will be a fun one to go to because we'll be out there. Bill's car's going up Friday night. Our friend Sammy Hagar's got his LaFerrari going up Saturday night.
Be some bravado in the trunk.
We'll do that. We'll do some bravado in the trunk. Have maybe some signed cases of bravado. And by the way, you know, you buy these cars, definitely come and have a drink with us and grab some photos and do whatever you want with the cars. If you want to drive them home, drive them home. You want to,
you know, I'll cry, but it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. It'll be a fun event. It'll be a fun event for sure. And it'll be, it's always going to be a big party, and stick around that, especially that Friday, Saturday, is going to be pretty cool, pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been a while since I've been around on a Friday night to take part in the festivities, because usually Friday night is pretty wild.
Yeah.
But I'm all in this year.
Yeah. Now, listen, Sammy's bringing a LaFerrari, and his car was custom made, and he picked the color combination, flew to Italy, and sat down with all those guys at Ferrari. But it's unlikely you're going to see a demon, let alone two, pop up at any other auction other than Barrett Jackson Friday night. You're not going to see a matching pair like this anywhere else.
I haven't seen and or heard of anyone offering a matching pair. I'm sure down the road there will be, you know, packages available at other auctions possibly, but I'm the first. So, you know,
here's the good news. If you have enough money to buy Sammy Hagar's LaFerrari, then you have enough money to buy the LaFerrari and the two demons.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Oh, and I do birthday parties. No.
Yeah. a little birdie told me that when Sammy's out there, just for fun, he might be bringing the band. He might be bringing the whole band out up on stage to rally with him. We're talking Michael Anthony, Jason Bonham, Joe Satriani. They announced their big tour, Best of All Worlds tour. It's gonna be kind of fun. So Friday, Saturday, it's gonna be a home run.
Maybe I move to Saturday.
Well, it's going to be I think you're good Friday. I think you're good Friday. I think listen, it's not going to be the same exact audience for Friday and Saturday as far as who's buying. And this is going to be a nice way to kind of break it up and turn Friday and Saturday into two headliners. You headline Friday and he headlines Saturday. It's going to be cool. So like I said, we've never seen a pair of demons like this go up, and we've never seen a LaFerrari at Barrett Jackson. So buy your weekend tickets. All right. So I don't know if you guys have been hearing about this, because we talking about SEMA show and stuff that's going on for a while now. The government in California, and I guess California and Las Vegas, have been talking about a high speed rail that goes from LA to Vegas. And now they're starting to like really turn it into a real thing. They want to make a high speed rail that goes from LA to Vegas that can be completed before the Olympics that Los Angeles is hosting in 2028.
Good luck with that.
Seems a little optimistic. But the idea would be a 218 mile high speed rail that goes 186 miles an hour and can get you to Vegas in 2 hours and 10 minutes. They're looking to award somewhere around $8.2 billion to create this. I don't know who's paying
for
it.
Hold on a second. Before we go on any further, how long does it take you to drive from LA to Vegas with no travel?
Four and a half hours.
So it cuts in half.
Okay.
But then you have to drive an hour from LA.
Yes. Here's the point is it's about 4.5 hours, maybe about 4.5 hours, let's say from the west side, like from the beach area. Like if you say LA, you can be downtown LA, you could be wherever. But I don't know what the thinking behind this, but it's going to start in like Rancho Cucamonga, which is not downtown LA. It's not near the beach. It's not even that close to LAX if you use that as a central point. Honestly, if I left right now in the Venice area to go to Rancho Cucamonga, it's probably 2 to 2.5 hours in traffic and about an hour and a half
longer to take the rail than it would to drive there.
Yeah. So if I'm going to drive roughly 2 hours to get on a train for another 2 hours and 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm at over four hours anyway, when I could just drive on my own. And it's just an odd place to start. I just don't.
Fully... These are the same people pushing the all electric movement.
I don't really understand why it's starting from there. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons what they're trying to do, and they're like, oh, it's a great station and it connects to other stations and you can go to Hesperia and you can go to Apple Valley and you could go to but I don't know if that's necessarily the audience that they're trying. Like saying we're going to do a high speed rail from LA to Vegas is, in my opinion, a different audience than the people who use the trains and stuff around LA or from LA to San Diego. It's a slightly different audience. It's not a commuter audience.
They're doing it out of necessity and not as a luxury.
Right. It's not a commuter audience. I know people that live in Orange County. They work in LA, and now there's a lot of work from home, but they work like 2 days a week in LA, and they just take the train. They just hop on the train in like Oceanside or Orange or whatever, get to the station in LA, and then whatever. It's an easy Uber or somebody picks you up and you're in downtown LA. Like that's a commute you can do twice a week. It's easy. You can work on the train. It's got Wi-Fi, whatever. But I'm not quite sure the connection. Plus, if I had to like take a train from Santa Monica to downtown LA, and then go down to Rancho Cucamonga, and then from there go to Vegas. It's not saving time as much as
getting people off the road.
Yeah, and you don't have to drive if you don't want to drive, or if you have work to do, or you just like straight up like, I don't want to drive. I don't want to like have the hassle of like stopping for gas or a charge or whatever, or if there's weather or if there's a traffic jam or if there's construction. I get it. There's a little bit of consistency to it. But if the pitch is your 4.5 hour drive is now 2 hours and 10 minutes, that's a bullshit pitch unless you live in Rancho Cucamonga. Right? Like if you live there and you can walk to the train, then I get it. And it'll be interesting to try because it's high speed and it's 186 miles an hour, roughly whatever it's going to end up doing. And we'll see. And it's an all electric train. It's going to go 218 miles. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but they're going to have to come up with some solution of getting people from LA to Rancho Cucamonga. And whatever solution is in place is not the best solution. And for us to drive there, or it's just gonna be like, fuck it, we're just gonna like red eye on the train there or something. And like, you know, hey, there's none of this. It's not gonna be like, hey, it's, you know, quitting time. We're gonna quit, you know, Friday 3 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., 3 p.m. And then we're gonna go to Rancho Cucamonga. We're gonna hop on the plane. Good luck. The traffic going south from LA to Rancho Cucamonga is a pain in the ass. So I don't think that's going to be the best solution. So anyway, that's what's going on with our high speed rail. In theory, it sounds interesting and it'd be fun to try, but I don't think it's a time saving thing.
Sure doesn't sound like it to me.
Anyway, that's what's going on. Okay, so what else is going on in the car news? It's not the most exciting week for car news, except for maybe this Mercedes, the 2024 Mercedes AMG CLE 53 Coupe. What Mercedes has done is they're saying, hey, let's take the little C-Class Coupe and jettison it, and let's take the E-Class Coupe, which is a little larger, and jettison it, and see if we can combine ourselves one high performance coupe. The interior is nice and has a bit of that C-Class thing going on, but it's larger on the inside and feels more like the space you'd get in the E-Class coupe. I was reading some of what Edmunds was saying, and they're saying, you know what, somebody who's 5'10 could sit in the back seat of this car and be pretty comfortable for a while. I don't think you'd want to drive for 5 hours, but it's interesting that they made it a little bit larger. And it's good looking coupe. It's got a great profile on it. It's going to have the I believe it's the 3-liter turbo. The interior, like they said, 5'10" rear passengers, not that bad. It's got the 11.9-inch center touchscreen. It's got all the funky LED lights. It looks like a disco club in there. That's in.
From what I saw, I mean, it's a good looking vehicle.
It's a good looking vehicle.
Again, I mean, financially, I think it was a good decision by them. It's not like they don't offer enough models as it is, but the size again.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, like, we have so many crazy super sedans and super SUVs that the high performance coupe, the two door, is just not a big selling vehicle that we have here in the US. But I think it's cool. I think it's a cool car, and it looks good without being a completely over the top like S-Class coupe that's going to cost $280,000. This one is going to have the 3-liter inline six, which uses an electric motor and a turbocharger, by the way. And the total power output's 443 horsepower, 413 pound-feet of torque, which is a nice little bump from the E53, which was the big version, which is, this is 443 horsepower. It was 429 before. So it's going to be the 9-speed automatic, the 4MATIC all-wheel drive system, rear drive only. It'll switch to rear drive only in a drift mode, which is cool. So if you want rear wheel drive, you can put it in drift mode. There's rear axle steering, which they got it dialed in, performs very well. As you'd expect, massive brakes, 14.6 inch rotors in the front, 14.2 in the rear, big four piston calipers in the front, single piston in the rear, but it's probably all you need. All right, it's a good looking car. It's kind of cool. I like to see that Mercedes is still doing this, especially when all we can seem to get pushed down our throats is EV stuff. It's nice seeing a nice little German hot rod.
Definitely.
Refreshing. Come to market. And I think the other thing that's going to be interesting in the EV world, and maybe we'll get into this with Alistair at some point, but they did the test on the Kia EV9. This is the 3-row SUV, all electric. It's basically the all electric version of the Kia Telluride, and the Kia Telluride is a good looking vehicle. It's wildly successful. Is one of my favorite vehicles in that $50,000 range. It's comfortable. It looks good. It's not an EV though. It's not a hybrid. It's just, it's just a gas engine solution to a 3-row, SUV. Now the EV9 is basically the all electric version of it. It is, it's faster all around. And of course, being all electric, avoid the gas pump. They have a couple of versions. They have, I believe, a rear wheel drive and an all wheel drive, and then a high performance version. And the big dog is 379 horsepower, 516 pound feet of torque, should get you 0 to 60 in about 4.5, maybe 4.7 seconds. It's got room for everybody. It's nice on the inside, but now there's a significant price jump between the $50,000 Telluride, and then the EV9 starts at something like 56 and gets its way up to $70,000 range. So do you want to spend $20,000 extra on getting the quote electric version of the Telluride? I'm not sure. It would be a commitment to doing that. Now, Kia has understands that because of the price jump, they wanted to sweeten the pot a little bit. So yes, although there is still a fair amount of plastic and stuff on the interior, there is still a noticeable increase in luxury between the EV9. They're definitely positioning it as a higher end version. So it's pretty nice. Now in the world of expensive EVs, a 3-row luxury-ish SUV all electric, it's not a bad option. It looks good, and it passes muster on their test track. So you can go in, you can watch the Edmunds video, and I'm sure Alistair will have a lot to say on that, because I think this is going to be a pretty significant thing for Kia. All right, I'm done.
Well, hey, here's some more uplifting news. For those of you who have heard me mention my 69 Blazer throughout the years and my inability to build it because it wasn't a Mopar product, well, it looks like Santa Claus might be giving me a gift here around Christmas time, or Hanukkah Harry on Hanukkah. But it looks as if it's quite possible that truck may leave my possession, and I may be inquiring a 74 Ram Charger convertible.
Yeah.
So, and the engine will be quite interesting to be determined later.
Yeah. So you're going to, it would be a build. It'd be just a full on hot rod build. Something kind of fun, something kind of over the top.
Something definitely fun and something completely over the top. Because yes, Mario will have everything to do.
Right, of course. You can't get into a project like that and not have Mario breathe on the engine, whatever the engine may be at that point, right? Yeah, sounds fun. Sounds good. I have this very fond memory as a kid, before, maybe it was before my little brother was born. My older brother and I, we were probably 6 and 8, something like that. And I don't know, my dad was just thinking of buying like a Bronco or something. And he's like, hey, there's a guy in the neighborhood that's got a Ram Charger, and let's go test drive it. And I remember fondly like getting in that thing. It was a weird color though. It was kind of a, I don't want to say yellow. It was kind of a cream color, kind of somewhere between the yellow and a cream kind of lightish color. I mean, I could be off. It could be a little bit more on the brown side, but yeah, but it's tough. But I'd have to look up what the colors were back then, and it would come back to me. But I remember taking that thing, and the guy's like, here, and where we lived at the time, there wasn't much around. So being able to, you know, take it off road a little bit and just kind of thrash it. I think my dad was like a little over his head on going, you know, I think he had this vision of doing stuff off road. And then even when we test drove it like a little bit off road, he was like, this might be a little rougher than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, kids are flying around. Of course, we're laughing and having a good time, but it's, you know, you think about maybe this is 1982, you know, what is happening. It's a rough ride. It's a bone stock version of that truck. So, but it was fun to do. And I don't know why, but I remember doing that test drive. There's not a whole lot I remember as a kid. But it just seemed like 10, 15 minutes of my life that I remembered.
Well,
probably because it involved a vehicle.
The vehicle name alone, makes it, you know, a logical candidate for Goldberg's Garage to build it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you still got Mustangs and Lawman and Camaros and
100%. Yeah. I mean, you know,
but for a build like this, for something to get out and promote and build that's new and not just, you know, like Lawman, you don't touch right now. That's fully restored. It's got a lot of history. There's not a whole lot to do with it except
there's only so many that I can properly advertise in a. Every one of them fits a category, right? And we need cars that we can be building right now and producing fun content and killer stories behind these old school vehicles. And I got to keep it in the family, man. So having a Ram Charger be my next son that'd be freaking awesome. So I'd forgotten about him for a while. You know, the big craze on the Power Wagons and everything kind of overshadowed that. And then I thought about it, and then Savaggio brought it up to me. And hey, cross your fingers. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea. It's going to be a fun project. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up, and happy Hanukkah. That's starting now. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for shopping on the website, buying some Bravago. DrinkBravago.com is the website. If you haven't bought any yet, now's a good time. You got a holiday party coming up. Hurry up. Get it out there. You got gifts to give. Family to go see. Bring them some hearts.
Bravago in your stocking.
Put it in your stocking. Come on now. We appreciate it. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap things up, and we'll I guess we'll figure out what the schedule is gonna be for this month. But I think we got another show in us at least.
The show may be live for me next week as I'm picking up my car. I hope.
Yeah, maybe it'll come in before then. Maybe cross your fingers. Maybe it'll come in before that. And then the green one at Penske. We're gonna have to get an update on that at some point. And I'm sure
I'm not worried about that one yet.
As your eyes roll back. Oh, all right, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Oh, oh, oh.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.